gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, our newswoman Jackie Schechner's funny. Tee-hee. She said in honor of me, it's normally pants-free Friday.
That's right.
On the current TV, it is pashmina-free Friday.
Yeah.
In honor of me and my horrible picture of myself wearing a green pashmina with Cher at the president's fundraiser.
Damn, and here I am in pashmina pants.
Sorry, Jim. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jackie
wow.
was late with that tweet. Sorry. Do you believe in pashmina? I do.
Oh.
This Roland, sexy liberal tour director.
Yep.
Tweets, this is the most viewed thing ever on the Sexy Liberal Facebook.
On your Facebook page as well.
Over 5,000 people viewed it in 4 hours, and it's the worst picture of me ever. I look like I'm wearing a green tablecloth. I'm having a big pashmina bonfire tonight. I'm burning every one of my pashminas.
How many pashminas do you have in the year 2012?
I have a lot. I couldn't pass a corner in New York without picking up a pashmina when I lived there.
Is there a local ordinance against burning pashmina in bulk?
I don't know. I don't care. I do care that it's Friday.
Yay!
It's Fugle saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steph, I'm sorry you're giving up pashminas. I apologize in advance for my birthday gift.
John, of course, will be coming in from New York, and Aisha, Tyler, and I coming in from L.A. tomorrow to Boston.
The great return to the Wilbur Theater.
Woo! Very excited. By the way, special sexy liberal announcement. The student tickets are on sale now, $20 a piece to get rid of those last few tickets.
Awesome.
If you go to the Wilbur box office with a student ID, those last few tickets will go.
So you can't buy them online. You have to go to the Wilbur box
office. For the student discount tickets.
Okay. Yeah. Rush, my friend.
Otherwise, you can go to Ticketmaster's, you know.
I hear there are some colleges in the greater Boston area.
That's really what I'm told.
Oh. It is a bit of a college town, yes. And I hear we're actually having an announcement that we are filming the show.
Oh, yes, John Fugelsang. Pardon me. Yeah.
Will you wear your pashmina jockstrap for the teabagging demonstration?
No, there will be nowhere. It's actually big news. It will be part of Sexy Liberal history. TV bringing their cameras to film this. They'll be doing a documentary on Sexy Liberal, which will air in the fall, I believe, on Current. So you will be part of history. We'll be filming the big show on Saturday. Okay.
Sweet.
Yeah, John, I think the only thing that may have been viewed more of than the me and Cher picture is the first interracial three-way teabagging demonstration that you and Aisha and I did in Minneapolis.
Wow, I'm so happy to hear that, Stephanie.
Terrific. You getting ready for that again?
do I get to do that again, really? Yeah, I'll be ready this time.
Great.
I'll be ready. I'm doing all my old moment chance training. I'm ready to mime that with you two.
Right,
it's
awesome.
Great. Two women I strike out with every show, but I get to do simulated unholy acts with on stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's terrific.
It's like high school again. You get to simulate, but not.
Exactly.
Right.
And people laugh at me during it. So, yeah, just like high school.
Awesome. Yeah. John, you're here in time for another awesome hate letter.
Awesome.
Jim, why is it that our hate letter is always completely grammar-free? Yeah, it's just it's like a bunch of Mitt Romney kid names, all like just
because freedom doesn't mean having to learn the difference between your and your.
Yes, it's freedom from apostrophes.
Mm-hmm. Can I say my favorite part just before I even get to the rest of it? Respectfully, Donald.
Oh,
he signs it respectfully.
At least it wasn't best.
I believe this is of the taunting variety over Wisconsin Go Walker.
Got about 200 of those from dignified men.
Yeah. By the way, John, we have not broken our sexy liberal record because everything we give money to wins. And we did take control of the Democrats. You know, we did enough recalls. We gave money to recall Walker and the Republican 8. We got enough Republicans that they have taken back the...
Listen, I've got plenty to say about Walker today. And I want every one of these guys gloating now to walk into a police station and say, you're all union thugs who don't deserve collective bargaining.
Yeah.
I see you put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Teabag.
See how that works.
Yeah, we were saying, aren't prison guards union? I think so, because... what time is it? I wonder if there might be an indictment this week as well.
Could be orange jumpsuits.
Do you know what they do to soft, bald, overweight Republicans in prison?
We're just asking. Okay.
I guess the force is not going to be with Imperial Walker.
No. All right, I have to read this exactly so we can appreciate the true... I can't. I'll explain the misspellings, but just the grammar alone. Okay, Donald writes, even that I don't live in Wisconsin, period.
Wow. Huh?
What?
Period.
That makes no sense in any language.
Not capitalized. All the damn dumbo craps. See, that must be his clever name for Democrats.
Dumbo craps.
However, that is also misspelled. It's
D-U-M-O
C-R-A-P-S. He, there's no B. There's
did,
no
W. Didn't he start that sentence in the middle?
He doesn't even know how to spell dumb.
Oh, dear.
All the damn...
He was drunk when he typed it?
I don't know. Dumbo craps here in Chicago make up for all the lies they push. You do a pretty good job yourself. If I hear your show just to get a good laugh now and then, Obama, or as I say, the liar, spelled L-I-E-R.
No way.
Fraud.
No way.
And fake of a president is next.
You have to post this somewhere.
Oh, Chris, I forgot to vet this with you. I'm not sure I can say this word.
Do these people realize that we're comedians?
Let me
we
see.
Want
can I
Romney
see it?
To win?
Just what that word there. What is that? What does that mean?
No, that's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah. All right.
No, that's like a even little rascal's phrase. Yeah.
Even see, I don't.
He took a licking.
John, as you know, I'm an elderly. Shut in, and I don't. No, that's not the word.
What?
You pointed to. Okay, well, I'm just going for it.
This is the most enjoyable dead air I've ever experienced on this show, and that's saying something.
Don't lick your wounds too much after the great loss yesterday, as slat gets into them. And they burn more.
Oh, I don't know.
Salt.
Okay.
Salt.
Oh,
he can't spell salt.
He's dyslexic.
He can't spell salt. I thought it was a dirty word. I thought it was a bodily substance I wasn't aware of. I never leave my house.
Wounds. I get so much hate mail, I can figure that out without seeing it.
I frequently have to ask Chris, what does that mean? Yeah. He shows me on the internet. Oh! That kind of salad.
That kind of...
Slat gets in your wound.
That kind of Sanchez.
That kind of shower. Oh!
You're going to get Venetian blinds in your wounds.
Okay. He spelled salt slat. Okay, I just... All right. That's worth the price of admission this morning, isn't it? Okay. Don't lick your wounds too much after the great loss yesterday, as slat gets into them, and they burn more. Ha!
Ah, slat! Ah!
Okay,
Johnny. Maybe he's trying to spell slut.
No? No, salt. Oh, okay. He means salt. No,
that's what the Limbaugh fans
say. Oh, thank God. Okay, ha, 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 ha. Talk about licking. You got licked real good, and I got something all the liberals can lick, too.
Just you wait.
Respectfully, Donald.
Oh, thank you.
Respectfully?
Wow, that's great.
Respectfully,
it's always eighth grade again. Just lick this.
Governor Romney, I give you your base.
I got something you can lick. Exactly. All right. Oh, God. That's, you know what? I got winded from that already.
That's great.
Awesome. Okay.
That's
thank
great.
You, Donald.
That's,
and I respectfully,
that's a guy that...
I respectfully think you are a dumb slat. Licking.
Oh, dear.
Moron. Okay.
Wow. Right, right now, Frank Luntz is figuring out how to make that man voluntarily give up his money to billionaires.
All right. Both colors. And a love letter to balance that. I love when people send us screenshots of various species or carbon-based life forms watching our show. You know, someone sent us their
photos,
finch, finch watching me on TV, and then their dogs, babies. Things like that. Jamie from Madison writes, Steph, I saw the picture from Jamie in Boston with her child watching you, and I thought I would share how my household spends our mornings as well. Jamie with Bernie, the big dog, and Zoe, the baby. And I put that, to you.
I put it up on
you
the Facebook page.
That's a big dog. Bernie and Zoe. Bernie's hanging something romantic, and there's Zoe. Hi, kids.
Is there a liquor cart in that photo as well? Because in the other one, there was a liquor cart.
Oh, next to the baby?
Yeah, next to the baby.
So instead of bringing the baby to the bar, the baby's just next to the liquor cart.
Exactly.
Those are my people. They're my people.
You got a baby in a rab.
Has new father John Fuglesang heard Miranda, the official 3-year-old of the Stephanie Miller Show? She's the official Walking on Sunshine singer. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That's Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Wow. I'm walking on sunshine.
Wow.
I'm doing a feel good.
Yay.
That's awesome. She's actually Donald's proofreader.
Yeah. Say hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi.
Oh, that's just cute.
Oh, my God.
That is
by the way, John
Fuglesang
is now officially one of those people that tortures you with unbelievably cute pictures of his baby.
Oh,
he sent
no.
me, 17 pictures of the baby, and then there was one of me, him, and Roland. I'm like, oh, my God, that is too cute. Of course, I refer to the first picture of you, me, and Roland
that
in
was
Minneapolis.
A very cute picture. It was so precious, wasn't it, you, me, and Roland?
Oh, we are
oh,
so
you know what?
Precious. The baby, whatever.
If the crib lizard we can do without. But.
John, if you and Stephanie had a baby, I think it would turn out just like Roland.
Oh!
High strung.
Insecure.
And loving show tunes.
With a desperate need for attention.
And does the work of 10 men in one day.
There you go.
Oh, Lord. All right, so John Finkelstein, how about the breaking news out of Wisconsin? Oh, by the way, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money that frequently irritates us by sending us news stories because he thinks we have no access to news of any kind.
Yeah, yes, that's helpful.
That's how we first got the news.
That, yes, he sent us the story like a day later that Walker was recalled.
Walker, okay, did you hear this?
Thank you.
Scott Walker recalled.
Thank you.
I'm like, what, do you think
what?
We don't have...
Or was it recalled, I mean.
News
yeah.
wire, what? All right, thanks, Ron. Thanks for the news.
That's
I interviewed Mark Shriver yesterday, and we were waiting for the... by the way, Sergeant Shriver died. All right, Ron,
thank you.
Just, thank you.
On the bright side, we do have men on the moon now.
John Fugel saying your thoughts on Wisconsin.
My thoughts on Wisconsin?
Yes.
Well, first off, Scott Walker didn't win. Citizens United won.
Yep.
Would you agree?
Yes.
I would say the winner was Citizens United, and the loser was the recall vote itself.
Yeah.
Because the majority of exit polls showed these folks are still Democrats. They still don't like Walker. They still are going to vote for Obama. They didn't want to have a recall. They didn't think he had broken the law, and they didn't think that the level of sin or malfeasance was up to the level of a recall vote.
Be taken care of by the end.
Well, exactly. There's a bigger sin down right around the bend. But again, hearing all these conservative people saying we won, I'm like, hey, teabag, what did you win? You're a person who doesn't trust the government, and so you just voted to make sure that government. Poor employees have no power to negotiate with that government you don't think people should trust.
Yeah,
That's exactly what you did. You voted against your own interest for the government.
He survived a recall that cost how much money after a year or something on the job, and that's a victory? It's like, okay, fine.
And again, these are all people who want to decry that money was spent on a recall. I have one word for you, governator, okay?
Yeah.
We had to go through this in California, and it was completely a drag. It's not that long ago. I remember. I voted in it. Gray Davis had taken a state government that went from a surplus to a deficit, and the Republicans recalled him. They should have burned George Bush at the stake for the same reason.
Right.
By the way, I have a magical personal story after the break that has to do with, a recall and the situation we find ourselves here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a hero in the story.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
It's about,
lovely.
Okay.
Yes. Decaying infrastructure and
whatever.
I'll make some stuff up during
the
break.
By the way, the chat room would like to remind Ron that Lawrence Welk has died.
Oh. Okay, good. Thank you, chat room. Thank you. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be sending us that later today.
Okay. And we'd like to remind the chat room that Scott Walker cut $800 million from his state's education budget.
I love that he thought that we were going to come in Wednesday not having checked any news.
I know.
What has happened? Oh, we weren't even covering that.
Oh, my God.
Guys, it's Ron. Are you sitting down? We got Saddam Hussein. We got him.
Oh, okay. All right. 18 minutes.
Don't rub slat in the wounds.
Right back on the stage.
President Kennedy, no!
What? 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yay! Wee! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. That's why I'm wearing my bike jersey today, because I'm training. And that leads me to my story. It's actually, Jim, it's a scary story. It's a cautionary tale about austerity.
Uh-oh.
And
oh,
the
no.
danger of recalls.
Uh-oh.
And it's also a love story about Gilbert, my future husband.
What?
just stay with me here.
Gilbert Gottfried?
No.
She was on the bike and the thing, and I saw you, I fell on the thing.
Our child wouldn't be too annoying. Okay. Gilbert works for the city park, or the state, we're doing maintenance and stuff.
Okay.
So I was, I'm training. I'm going on a bike trip to Tuscany, which is hilly. So I've been training in Griffith Park, where, the Hollywood sign is
hilly.
And the observatory. It's very hilly.
That's where they find severed heads and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's what happened is I ran over a severed head. No, that's not.
No.
Let me tell my own story.
Okay, sorry.
So I was halfway through the ride in the middle of nowhere. You know how remote it is. It's, but there's a mountain lion there. Remember the story about the mountain lion?
Yep. They're crazy.
This could have ended in me being eaten by a mountain lion and you having to get John Fugelsang to fill in for the rest of forever
ever.
And never even noticing that
the
I wasn't
rest
here.
Of ever.
Yeah. And the guy in Wisconsin would be happy to rub slat in your wounds.
That'd be the most fun way to avoid watching my child grow up.
The story about our... Pay attention! The story about our crumbling infrastructure and the dangers of recalls, because we recalled Gray Davis for no good reason, because
right.
he got blamed for
they
Enron.
They tried to blame him for Enron, and he was the one guy trying to do something about it.
And then we got Governor Sperminator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of this nature.
Right, and things of this nature.
And Gilbert has to do with this how?
I'm getting back to Gilbert.
Okay.
Just making him
so Gilbert was on the bike, and there was a thing with the Aflac.
It was not
this
Gilbert
is after Gilbert
Gottfried.
Got fired from Aflac?
Yeah,
oh, it's not. Oh, God,
okay.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Due to Governor Schwarzenegger and our budget hole and the dangers of austerity and recalls, I don't know, this is getting to be a jambalaya. Anyway, my point is, I got a flat in the middle of nowhere, and I had no cell phone with me because they don't work up there.
You're blaming that on Governor Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Why not?
Here, there's a lot of potholes.
All right.
You know,
okay, so I got a flat in the middle of nowhere, and you're wearing those bike cleats, so I couldn't walk. I mean, literally the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness, no cell phone. And who comes along? Gilbert does.
Who works Gilbert.
He works
Say I'm sorry, Gilbert. Say I'm sorry, Gilbert.
He works for the city?
Yes. Or the state, whatever.
The city. If it's
anyway,
a city park, it's the city.
So here's the thing. So I had to, so I flagged him down. I'm like, help! So I held this FEMA.
Pulling your hanky out there and dropping it.
Help! But there he was, like, I thought it was a mirage. And there he came in his big, you know, city
truck.
You
know, they do have goop that you can inject into your tires.
Jim, don't ruin my love story. Anyway, no, I need to be a damsel in distress and be rescued by a hero for this story to work. I can't have been smart enough to have bike patch with me. I wouldn't know how to do it. You need to come and do percussive maintenance on my printer when it doesn't work. I don't know how to work anything.
Yes.
You saw the blurry pictures of President Obama on our website.
Yeah, those were tragic.
I can't even operate an iPhone properly.
I must destroy this tangent to get back to the story.
No! All right. Anyway, so, and Gilbert, it's his job to photograph the potholes. And so that ride home took about 2 hours. I had to help. I had to work for my ride. I had to help him photograph all the potholes.
And they say government can't create jobs.
All the way home. No, but here's the story. Gilbert said he used to run a crew of 20. Now it's just him. It's a 4,000-acre park.
Wow.
And he's and there's full of potholes and stuff, which caused my flat. Anyway, and that's the end of my story.
Austerity sucks.
Yes, that's exactly.
I do think that's a city issue and not a state issue, though. So I don't know that Schwarzenegger... Okay, I'm just saying.
Back me up on something.
Just saying.
If it weren't for Gilbert, I would have been eaten by a mountain lion, and John Fugelsang would have a radio show now. So listen, it's not a happy ending for John.
You don't want that to happen. Good God.
Dearest mother, dearest father.
It's a happy ending for me. Anyway, thank you, Gilbert. I love you. We bonded.
Thanks, Gilbert.
We bonded doing our, you know.
Did Gilbert know who you were?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Who does?
He does now.
Stop that.
He does now.
He does.
If you're listening, Gilbert, I love you.
Aw.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I just found out that she's 17 years younger than me. I knew I shouldn't have done this. I look ridiculous.
Oh, nonsense. You've never looked better.
You know what?
Pashmina.
You know what?
What?
I could do without you. 34 minutes after the hour. And also the person that wrote on our, emailed us.
Yes, Stephen emailed us and said, Newsbusters breaking news. Mm-hmm. Lawless Lib talk show host Stephanie Miller arrogantly violates local anti-Pashmina burning ordinance. States, I don't care.
All right. Go ahead. Mock me in Mike Pashmina in the picture with Cher. Yes, this has been seen a billion times. It's the worst picture of me ever. John Fugelsang knows. I frequently veto pictures he takes. And I'm like, well, I have to use this one. It's with Cher, but it's the worst picture of me ever.
You could have at least taken an iron to it or something.
Oh, dear. It's just a bad angle, bad everything. Okay.
You booked the Radio Land. Y'all have no idea how many amazing photos I've taken of Miss Miller that you guys can never see.
No.
Really?
No. Oh, yeah. She's so gorgeous. She's so photogenic. I have so many amazing photos that she has said no, and she sends my pictures to the cornfield.
He does get angles that I don't like. It's just sort of like proctocam, gynocam. I don't even know where he is.
Some of those pictures soiled.
You had to.
It's unfortunate that I'm...
Jim.
All right. Marja in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marja.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm calling to share a rather hilarious story. This just happened last night, and I knew when it happened I had to call you and tell you about it. I was out with some friends, and a topic we usually tend to avoid because we disagree vehemently, politics, the Wisconsin whole thing. And at some point, the conversation turned to our president, and this friend of mine, who is an idiot, I'll be frank, said his head just started getting like bright red, and he was like, he hasn't done a thing. Tell me one thing he's done. He's and he kind of went off on this other tangent, and then he said, and he's a radical socialist Muslim. And my friend very calmly looked over at him and said, so which is it? Has he done nothing, or is he a radical socialist Muslim?
Nicely done.
It's Hannity disease.
Nicely done.
So beautiful, and like the calm and the reason and the and it just it made his head explode.
Yeah. I was guessing that was the ending.
I don't know which talking points to use or which to throw away.
Yeah, Marja, I'm going to do a special show to raise money to buy you new friends.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, the president will speak at in about a half an hour.
Yes.
About the economy, so we will carry that live.
Sure, like Muslim socialists do.
Yeah. At press conferences. Sure. Okay. But meanwhile, we're out here in Hollywood, and Charlie Sheen has lost his again, so had to get to that.
What?
Uh-oh.
I thought he was desperately apologizing for that.
You can't say what he said?
Is he lying in a pool of tiger blood somewhere?
They're going to see the headline on this paper. I need to cover it for the children that are watching on television.
Should have redacted before we got here.
Well, you don't redact it. You send it to me.
Oh, well.
He was at L.A. Kings, rock on. Listen, I don't follow sports, but it's a big deal. We're doing very well, apparently. Hockey.
We have hockey here?
It's hockey.
Amazing. I know.
Yeah.
There's maybe one rink in the entire...
Oh,
Charlie Sheen went insane at the Staples Center yesterday.
This is awesome, yes.
Okay. After a security guard told him he couldn't re-enter the stadium after taking a smoke break, it's all caught on video, sadly.
Oh, boy.
Because they have a policy of not letting people back in once they leave. Uh-oh. Oh, no. A female security guard would not budge when Charlie tried to get back in. Charlie snapped, yelling, you know what? Ing. Which part can I say?
You can say...
He can.
Don't say the body part. Say the other part.
No, there's no part of the sentence. You can say.
All right, you... Oh. Okay.
That was pretty much all redacted.
Yeah. And anyway,
anatomically...
It's the berries, not the twig.
Yeah.
Which I just think is funnier.
Yeah. Because that's not a part that you...
It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's completely anatomically impossible.
Exactly. Unless you've got a huge mouth.
No,
okay.
it's still not possible.
A little later, Charlie's buddies tried in vain to keep him away from the camera. He explained, to have common sense and common courtesy gone in society... So she was the one being
directly after he said,
"My yes,
God."
So apparently, it's her being rude, not letting him back in.
Sense of entitlement, much?
It was her enforcing the rules at Staples Center. Anyway, I have common sense and common courtesy gone in society. That's what I was trying to impress upon her by telling her to
Yeah, it's special that he screamed it at a female security officer.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, apparently. This is like the third incident. On the way into Staples, a fan screamed, have you ever done bath salts? Charlie said, would you ask me that at a dinner party, you moron? Go yourself. And then...
he doesn't like people, does he?
Another fan screamed, Charlie, all the hoes tonight. To which Charlie said, I thought your mother and sister weren't available. Oh!
Okay, that was funny. That was funny.
Booyah! That's a lot more entertaining than the hockey game, I think. I would have just watched that.
But if you're Charlie Sheen, you can sort of afford to buy a second ticket and walk back in quite easily, right?
Yes, you could. Yeah. Quite conceivably.
Yeah, that's
although,
true.
Although, playoff games are generally sold out, so...
Well, although, it depends on how much... If his blowing hooker budget, didn't allow that, then perhaps.
And you know what? Yeah. All of this is to promote his new show on FX called Anger Management. Seriously. I'm sure it is.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Eight and a half tricks.
I don't think it's ironic. I think it's actual
marketing.
Did you
miss that? John Fugelsang slips those in there without even telling you you're pretty. Did you hear that?
No.
Eight and a half tricks is what he said.
I see.
His show is eight and a half tricks.
Yeah, it's really sad. I share a birthday with Charlie Sheen, so I take his cause very personally. Yes, we're both Virgos. And my son shares a birthday with Mitt Romney, so I hope there's no patterns anywhere.
Uh-oh.
But in fairness, this could be detox behavior, and this could be, you know, him just getting stuff out of his body still a year later.
Sure.
But,
okay.
He's been on this big mea culpa tour. He's on the cover of Rolling Stone talking about how, you know, he was completely lashing out and insane all last year and with his tour and all that other nonsense. So
yes,
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but then he has to go be douchey McDucherson to a woman security guard.
Yeah.
It's like you're a millionaire and you're screaming at a security guard for doing her job.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Charlene in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, good morning. I am a staunch Democratic supporter, and even though we lost the governorship on our recall,
yeah.
There are people around this state that are rubbing their hands together waiting for the criminal charges that's going to be put on Governor Walker, something that he's been avoiding to the other people in this country. The people in Milwaukee, where I'm from,
well, that
we all
I hate
know.
To say, boy, revenge is sweet if that means that the Koch brothers just spent all their money
on
number
really
6457.
They're trying to get him to retain the seat, which he did, good boy. But the bottom line is, now that the smoke is clear and the Koch brothers are gone and Karl Rove's gone, and now he has to deal with the people that he chewed up.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And a Democratic legislature that's not going to let him walk all over them. That's right.
Oh, no, not only that. Listen up.
Yeah,
the
welcome
DA
to President Obama's nightmare.
The DA in Milwaukee County has had a John Doe investigation on him for over a year. They have indicted all but him.
Yep.
And most of them have been sentenced. One of them are postponing his sentencing because he's now turning.
Yeah, that's what Charlie Pierce was telling us a couple days ago, Charlene. It looks like this Russell guy has either rolled on him or is, threatening to.
Well,
so.
Who wants to go to jail and watch him ascend to a throne? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
He is the reason why they're going to jail. So if it were me, I'd be singing like Mahalia Jackson. There'd be no way he would be able to keep his seat without coming down with me. So while everybody around the country is thinking that we got spanked, oh, no, Mona, me, it's not over.
Charlene,
he's going
I
down.
Love you. I love you. Yeah. He's going down.
And by the way, who is the only governor in America to have a legal defense fund? Right now?
Governor Scott Walker, John Fugelsang.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know, you have such a sweet smile on your face right now, Crystal Boy, and that can only mean one thing, that someone has said something really mean about me online.
Well, listener Linda has emailed me a picture of you and her at the 2011 Blue State Ball, which was last year. And she says, not wanting to rub slat into the Pashmina wound, Steph was wearing this red Pashmina over her black lace dress back in 2011.
Oh, dear.
So this has been an ongoing passion.
Faux pas. Oh, no. Oh, no. What are those? I'm going to be on one of those fashion disaster shows. Special Pashmina edition.
Yeah. Oh, bless your heart.
Bless my heart. Okay.
Tim Gunn is livid.
Kirkland in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just thinking. Bush turned a $5 trillion surplus into a $11 trillion deficit, and it has taken President Obama another $5 trillion to somewhat stabilize the economy. That's a swing of $21 trillion from Bush economics.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Mitt Romney hopes to take credit for it next year.
yeah, by the way, John, this is the latest story that's making me lose it. I guess, you know, the question is, Mitt Romney just going to lie his way through this entire election? I guess, yes, he is.
No, the question is the media going to let him? That's the question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. He quoted this book, and the author said, well, that's complete bull. Romney, I mean, it's just, I saw it on TV, and I'm like, does anyone really believe that? Oh, the president wanted the economy to get bad? Oh, okay. So he could pass health care or whatever. But but anyway, it just, between that, John, and how they don't want to count Mitt Romney's jobs record in Massachusetts. Oh, that's not fair. He inherited. And it's like,
he's using that exact.
His spokesperson said Barack Obama has not created one single job. You know what they're basing that on? They're counting all of the John losses, like including the
800,000
he took office because of George
and
Bush.
And the 20 days of January before he took office, over 700,000 jobs lost that month before. He's pinning that on Obama. These are all job losses that happened before Obama's first budget ever went into place. And y'all got to tell your right-wing friends, it was the stimulus that stopped Bush's 750,000 job losses per month. The stimulus did it. And I'm like you, Steph. I want to see the president get angry. But if he did get angry, the right-wing would say he's
angry
not being presidential.
Yeah.
But I want to see him grab Romney by the lapels and say Wall Street is not under attack. Obamacare is not bankrupting the Treasury. It's not adding to the deficit.
Johnny.
I have never apologized for America. And Joseph Smith's story doesn't check out.
John Fugelsang, I saw the president live 2 nights ago here in L.A., and it was
awesome.
Where
are you, Pat?
Really?
Yes,
wow,
Jim
did he do his old acoustic stuff?
What?
He was awesome, and I was saying, Jim Ward, actually, we did a reenactment of it, and he did this whole checklist of everything he's accomplished, and it was awesome, and I hope he continues to do that speech, because it was brilliant. Even as imagined by Jim Ward, it was brilliant.
I got goosebumps all over again. It's what is always the Democrats' problem. It's always messaging, and that's what happened in 2010. That's what happened this week in Wisconsin. So the president, I hope he's on it, ma'am, because
he's on it.
Citizens United is what won Wisconsin, and that's Mitt Romney's greatest hope.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, when we come back, another headline that made me lose my... Frustrated liberals want more from Obama. Okay, I will talk about that.
Breaking news indeed.
Yeah.
Do I have to get out my sign, my Obama poster again that says, chill out, mother... I got this. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang all 3 hours in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Melanie in Los Angeles. Hi, Mel.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I need your help, precious woman.
Oh, dear.
My parents are in Indiana. I moved out to California when I got out of college, and they have become foxheads.
Oh, dear.
They're the most wonderful people in the world.
Feel your pain. I feel your pain.
What do I do?
About your parents? Is this a recent thing, or they've always been?
They've always been Republicans.
Right.
But not, like, crazy. They're insane.
Yes, I blame Fox News.
We can't talk about it.
You saw that study that Fox News is basically eating people's brains, right? Like you, if you don't watch anything, you're smarter than if you watch Fox News.
Yeah, I know. I told them that. You said that, and I told them that. Those exact words.
Yeah.
And my mother hung up on me.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
They don't tend to take that too well.
No.
When you say that.
Yeah.
To them. I found that out.
Yeah. You know what? I have one hopeful thing that happened. My mom has gotten rid of her masturbating fox bird. She had a lovebird that used to masturbate to Fox
News. Well,
that's
because Glenn Beck was canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, my
probably.
God. I thought that was like something you could purchase, and I was thinking that maybe that would help.
Yeah. The bird probably lost the will to masturbate after Glenn Beck got canceled. So.
Oh, boy.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah, my mom, I don't know. I just got tired of the masturbating bird and founded a new home. As they say.
Really?
Let's hope she didn't cook it. I don't know.
Running out in a meadow somewhere?
She's Republican,
on a
so
farm?
I don't know. Sure. We found him a nice place on the farm.
Yeah.
oh, no.
With lots of meadows
What's
to
that
run
on
in.
The stove, Mom?
Oh.
No, I have no information about that. Bene in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bene.
Hey, Stephanie. You pronounced my name right.
Okay.
My husband and I have been doing this thing for years because we are in the middle of North Louisiana. This is a deep, deep, deep red and very stupid state.
Yeah.
this, while this whole thing in Wisconsin has been going on, I've been thinking, oh, God, you just need to come to Louisiana and see what right to work actually looks like.
Yep, tell them.
People around here are so dispirited and have been beaten down for so many decades, they just take it and keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But we do this thing because we have to keep our mouths shut. Of course, that doesn't work exactly with me, but I'm the one that could take my mother to chemotherapy and get in a fight with some right-winger.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear. Oh,
well,
dear.
I couldn't let them get away with it. They would say the most outrageous things, and I was like, no, that's not true. But when George Bush ran for office the first time, boy, there were Bush Cheney stickers everywhere.
Yeah.
And in 2004. 2008, there were a few McCain, Palin stickers.
Right.
But they've all disappeared.
Yeah, yep. I mean, Benet, that's the thing that, you know, because when you talk about stuff like that, that's serious life stuff. My mom has survived breast cancer, but, you know, she, her medication, it's expensive, you know, and she's one of those people, the donut hole for Medicare. So it's, you know, I understand it makes everybody emotional because you're like, look at this is stuff that is helping real people that I love.
Well, try to remember, try to remember when it seems like they're all crazy down there. Just remember, McDonald's is our number one restaurant. Fox is our number one news channel, and there were 1,000 people in the Today Show, young girls cheering Chris Brown. Stupid happens. You get to be evolved. You got to, you had a big responsibility, and you got to just lead by example because you're not going to use reason on
that. That's exactly what I do.
Well, good.
And the only bumper sticker that my husband has seen, I mean, I don't see any political bumper stickers. We see the occasional yard sign for Ron Paul, and that's in college towns that want marijuana legalized. Can't blame them, really. But the one he saw this week was Democrats think the glass is half full, and Republicans think the glass belongs to them.
Yeah, all right. But yeah, you just keep doing your own personal sexy liberal tour. John, one I forgot to tell you. That was one cause I hadn't heard for Wisconsin is they blamed us, the sexy liberals. Someone called in and said because we're too smart. We're too smart to reach the really dumb people in Wisconsin that voted for Walker. So dumber, sexy liberals was the thing.
So we've been like dumbed
down.
They
went to the show, they loved us, but we're too smart.
We're too smart to reach the people of, right, okay. Well,
yes.
We should go slapping Tom Barrett then.
Yes.
Just be dumb.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to have to wait till after the top of the hour to get to this piece that made me lose my... frustrated liberals want more from Obama. I will... We'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to Pat in Flint, Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I am so tickled to finally be able to get through to you guys. I want to know where Boehner's teeth are. Boehner, does the Congress not supply people with dental care in Congress? Man doesn't show any teeth.
Huh. I've never thought of that. You're right.
Whether he cries or whether he smiles, he always has that upper lip yanked way down over top of what most people would have as teeth.
It's possible he accidentally smiled during the spray tan session, and then they're the wrong color.
Right,
so
they're all the wrong same color. Or maybe they were eaten away by bourbon.
Good possibility.
Yeah.
They could have been eaten away by bourbon.
All brown from cigarettes.
Yeah, quite truthfully, they might be all brown from cigarettes.
Ooh, how'd that look?
Very interesting.
Big brown, like, you know, grill right in the middle
and
of that orange
face.
And
that's why he talks like this with his entire voice and laryngeal lock in the back of his throat.
Well, then what's Mitch McConnell's problem?
Mitch McConnell doesn't have a soft palate.
Is that he's a turtle.
He can't. No, I think it's a lip problem. He can't move his lip.
Okay.
Or he does not have one. Okay.
He needs a lip injection.
All right. Buddy in Columbus. Wow, everybody's a fashion critic these days. I see your email here, buddy. Thank you. The me and Cher picture. Is it a drop cloth for painting? A smock for arts and craft? Did you lose a bet? All right. Or did a drug interaction make you get up and sleepwalk wrapped in a green blanket? No, buddy. No.
You people make me so angry.
All right. Why? Hi, buddy.
It's the green butterfly.
Mama,
by the way, buddy, I've seen you at an event or two in Columbus. You're not quite the fashion plate yourself either, mister.
Hey. But it doesn't matter.
I mean, let's see Buddy rock a see-through mesh shirt in concert.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Mama, this thing isn't going to be. Mitt Romney was dressing up at cop and pulling people over?
Yeah.
Yes.
Back in college.
You know people who do that? Those are rapists and serial murderers and criminals. It's a felony.
It is a felony.
You cannot do this.
Yeah.
And I checked online this morning, zero news coverage of this.
Yeah.
We covered it a few weeks ago.
Oh, and also he's a to people who are trying to just, you know, peacefully smoke pot on his beach.
Yeah.
Why are you surprised? George Bush liked to play dress up, too.
Yeah.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You can go to Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook.
That's
and
right.
Sexy Liberal on Facebook to see the awful picture of me with Cher in my green pashmina at the President's fundraiser here in L.A. this week. Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. He and Aisha Tyler and I all off to Boston tomorrow for Sexy Liberal. Very teensy tiny few tickets left. Go now to sexyliberal.com or Sexy Liberal on Facebook to find out how to get. Or you can go right to the Wilbur Theater box office.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, particularly if you're a student. If you bring your student ID, right now you can get $20 tickets for the few tickets that are left.
This show's going to be sold out.
And by the way, Gay Pride Weekend in Boston. This hour, we're going to have Lucas Grinley, the editor of The Advocate, on.
Yes. That's the best, I must say.
No.
What?
No.
Not him? Not a different guy?
Okay. Completely different guy.
No.
This guy's a very serious journalist.
Weekend and very good weekend in Boston. I'm going to lead the Straight Shame Parade in Brookline.
Good.
That's
good.
On Sunday.
Thank
but,
you.
And the show is being filmed, let's not forget. So,
yes.
That's right.
Current TV bringing their cameras. You will be part of history. They will be doing a Sexy Liberal documentary, which will air on the Current Network, I believe, in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So you can we filmed in Madison, John. The last,
yes.
Return show to Madison. And we also are going to be filming tomorrow. In Boston. Okay, Jeff in Iowa asks, Steph, could you dial it back a little in hour one? I just want to remind you a sizable portion of your radio audience doesn't have Current yet.
Right.
Well, get it! And we can only listen the last 2 hours of your show on XM Satellite Radio. What? We hear you making reference to funny moments from the first hour. We feel totally left out. Why, please let XM know, won't you? This is very frustrating to the legion of pathetic losers whose lives are only brightened by the gleaning every possible moment of joy we can from the last 2 hours of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's what the Stephcast is for.
Exactly. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
Steph, I implore you, please don't say or do anything funny, informative, or entertaining during the first hour of your show.
Just dead air.
I'm sorry, it's too late. You guys will not believe what you missed last hour.
What really sucks is that we put all the good content in the first hour
when you're
sleeping. So
yes.
It's just dross for the last 2 hours.
Sorry. Dross. Yep. Seeds and stems for the last couple hours.
That's all you get. Seeds and stems.
Better yet, in hour one, just take calls from right wingers.
We smoked the good part of the show.
Better yet, just take calls from right wingers like Billy in Texas or spend the hour talking about your handsome and romantic dogs and that annoying voice that you do. But save Art in Chicago and all the other great moments for the last 2 hours, so all your loyal XM listeners. All right.
Wow. And I said all my smart stuff about Scott Walker in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, me too. I told that
I'm
hilarious story about the
about that thing,
my bike flat. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All we have left are hologram Elvis jokes for the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they're planning on touring with hologram Elvis.
Oh,
they just announced that yesterday.
Oh no.
Yeah. But we're going to keep them away from the hologram peanut butter and Demerol sandwiches.
Why can't we just send a hologram of me so I don't have to leave my house for Sexy Liberal? Can we
work
on that,
I pitched that idea.
John?
You shot it down. I pitched you that idea.
Yeah.
You didn't like the hologram.
I'll just be an apparition holding a box of wine. Mama's at home drinking.
Dr. Dre and I went to her with this very concept. We're going to have her dance with hologram Tupac.
Let's just have Tupac for no reason, just because. He just appears behind us. No explanation, no reason.
We only have the budget for one puck.
Yeah.
How dare you?
That'll eat into your liquor budget on tour, Steph. I don't think you want to do that.
Can I have some comedy music, please?
We're gonna get a hologram. We're gonna get a hologram Ron to book this.
The guy that owns the show that's trying to come in for the life insurance money.
Yes.
John, you know what you missed? He told me that I give the phone number out too much. That our phone bill's too high.
What?
Do you have to give the number? Do you have to have people on hold so long?
Do you have to people call?
Like, well, it's a talk radio
Do you
show.
Have to have an audience for your radio show? Is that necessary?
Our phone bill is through the roof. All right. So 1-800-STEP-12, the
Add
phone
more
number.
Dates.
Okay. Andy Borowitz, Canada bracing for a massive influx of Wisconsin boat people. The Canadian Coast Guard was on alert today preparing what it fears could be a massive influx of boat people from Wisconsin. The head of the Royal Canadian Mounted Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Said word has gotten around. We have policemen, firemen, and basic school lunches up here. You can't blame these boat people for seeking a better life.
It's hard to be in the Mounted Coast Guard and get your horse to swim,
eh? But we're under orders to intercept them. In Canada, officials fear refugees from Wisconsin will brave the treacherous journey across Lake Superior.
Superior, they said,
no,
early.
in the hopes of giving birth to so-called anchor babies on Canadian soil. He offered reporters a look at satellite photos showing boat people larding their vessels with wheels of premium cheddar cheese, possibly in the hopes of bribing Canadian officials.
Jeez,
these boat people
oh, that's
are
great.
Desperate, and they'll try anything. Governor Walker seemed philosophical about his legacy. I'm not worried how history will remember me, because if I have my way, there won't be any history teachers. All right. Thank you, Andy Borowitz. Funny, a little sad at the same time. All right. Let's go to Jill in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Friday. Good morning. It's Friday, you bastards. Oh, wrong show. Anyway.
Hey, wrong show.
Anyway, yeah. You know, Stephanie, you can even look, make a schmata look good.
Oh,
<That's>,
no.
Oh.
Thank you.
And what is this, you know, why is it, why isn't it being investigated about those robocalls that were made in Wisconsin?
Yes, yes.
Telling people if they are in competition, they didn't have to. Yeah, what, why isn't there an investigation? I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
And
I mean,
that's
it just,
really
it's
damning.
And it's
yeah.
always last minute, and it, you know, exactly.
And John Fiegelson, I'm glad you're there today, being the ecclesiastical mook, because muke? I have a new name for a company.
It's a mook with
if,
a cold.
Okay, a buke.
A muke.
A muke, right. If Ann Coulter, Sarah Palin, Michelle Malkin, and Gretchen Carlson got together, you know what the name of their company would be?
Oh, God, no, what?
Succubus or Us.
Yay! Yeah. All right. 12 minutes after. All right. You can quote Randy Rhodes anytime on my show. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, someone told her, Randy, you're on a roll today. She goes, butt of my ass, everybody. I'm on a roll. All right. I don't know what that was. Not great about that. Yeah. All right. Here's the story that made me lose my... all right. Oh, I believe it's people from Netroots, whom we love.
Yep.
Who, a lot of them are coming up for the Boston Sexy Liberal tomorrow.
Yay.
But the Associated Press story, frustrated liberals, more from Obama. People, all hands on deck. We got to get it together for November. Yeah. They're trying to be hopeful, but the Democratic Party's most passionate voters are struggling to hide their frustration. Republicans attack the president as a big government liberal. Many liberals meeting at Netroots Nation describe it's a giant family reunion for the left, as we describe it. Argue instead that Obama hasn't fought hard enough for progressive priorities on taxes, health care, and the economy. Even more problematic for the president with the election just 5 months away, some are threatening not to donate money or time or even vote in November.
Wait till they get to know Mitt.
Gert.
Yeah. Wait till they get to know Mitt. They'll mm-hmm. find all kinds of new enthusiasm for the president.
Christine Vaughn.
Please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. She is.
And she's with?
Herself.
Okay.
That's how selfish she is.
I see.
45-year-old school psychologist from Canton, Ohio. Not sure whether she'll vote for Obama a second time and probably won't donate money as she did during his first campaign. She refuses to support Mitt Romney, but is considering writing in another cap.
No, don't do that.
Yep.
Doing stuff like that is surrender. That is surrender. That is not fighting.
Hang on. What state is she in?
Ohio.
She should vote for Obama.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're in a safe blue state, go ahead and vote third party. I'm sorry. You're allowed to, but not in Ohio.
Among the liberals gathering. Despite widespread praise for his recent decision to support gay marriage and ongoing push to scale back military action in the Middle East, see, John, this is the problem.
I'm going to hold
it's
my breath until he
menu.
Fixes all the problems.
Can't
yeah.
go, well, I like this and this, but I don't like that and that, so I'm going to stay home. He didn't give me my leprechaun hearts gold dust.
Get him a second term, and then you can complain. Yes.
I didn't get my unicorn that farts glitter.
I think though you guys are missing one point, which is when liberals criticize Obama, it reminds moderates and independents that the president is not the radical Fox News keeps saying he
right.
is.
Yes.
And liberal gripes about the president actually helps him with the great undecided middle. Mm-hmm. So in a way,
here's,
there
so
is
keep
a good
griping?
Thing about this. No, don't keep griping. Make your gripes have a point. Don't just come out and say he hasn't given anything. Be specific with your.
Yeah.
Don't be like a Republican and just criticize him across the board. Republicans are mad that Obama repeated Republican policies that haven't fixed the economy
that's
wrecked
right.
by Republicans.
I just read from Paul Krugman's This Republican Economy all week. So polls show the president locked in a tight race. It's likely to be decided in several swing states where he's – pay attention, people. Places like Ohio, Florida, and Virginia expected to be especially competitive.
Yep.
Obama will need liberal supporters to work hard on his behalf to turn out in droves on Election Day. Ed Tracy.
Please and thank you. And he's with?
Himself.
Okay.
Selfish
yes.
bastard. So again, Lebanon, New Hampshire. He's done a good job, but he could have done a lot better.
So I'm going to not vote for him so he can't
do anything.
So I'm going to
make Mitt Romney president.
Ed went on to say, I decided unless I thought he really needed it, I wouldn't contribute. Ed, here's a newsflash for you. He really needs it. Welcome to the Post-Citizen United world. You know how much money they're going to spend against him? All hands on deck, people.
I'm really worried about November. Can I just put that out there? It's not going to be easy.
No!
It's not as
Are
long
you
gone.
Crazy? No. Wait a second. Wait. Are you crazy? Can I tell you something as a comedian?
Yes.
We are praying for President Romney, okay?
No, we are not.
We had eight rich years of manna from heaven with George W. Bush. Comedic water from the rock like Moses put his staff on it. And now we've had 3 years of a non-buffoon intellectual who is completely sane, makes good judgments, and isn't a total buffoon. It's been a complete crisis
for comedians.
Terrible
for comedy.
You are a
selfish bastard, John Fugelsang.
We need
another terrible, horrible right-wing president to make fun of.
It would sell tickets to
the Sexy Liberal
Show.
I'm buying a boat.
Obama, for instance, leading in a swing state poll, but Romney takes Florida and Ohio right now. President Obama leads a new poll of swing states by 2 points over Mitt Romney, tighter than a cat's ass, ladies and gentlemen. But Romney has taken
it's
a crucial lead.
Than a, well, I forget
tick,
what
some,
I
some tick, something.
Been a fake Rolodex watch in Times Square, something like
sure,
that.
Sure,
Dan Ratherisms. I used to have a glossary.
We should have asked him when he was on a few weeks ago. We can't remember some of your sayings.
This race is hotter than a fake Rolodex.
We were having a bad day that day.
Yeah. Romney has taken a lead in Florida and Ohio. Obama maintains leads in Virginia and Colorado. Romney has improved elsewhere, but even if he wins Ohio and Florida and loses Virginia, he'd still lose the election. I mean, it's just tight is the
really
story.
It's really tight. Mm-hmm. And if you're pro-life, you should never vote for Mitt Romney.
Romney is also having trouble connecting with voters. Did you think? Said the pollster. 39 favorable view, 49% unfavorable. And President Obama, by the way, has gotten pushback. Thank you, Cory Booker, on the attacks on Bain Capital. The numbers show the attacks are working.
Mm-hmm.
47% believe private equity firms like Bain hurt workers and cut jobs. 38% believe they foster economic growth. So I'm just saying, you know, all hands on deck. All right, we are awaiting the president speaking on the economy. We will carry that live as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, awaiting the president. He will be speaking about the economy. Oh, who thought this was hilarious when Mittens said this yesterday?
I will not be that president of doubt and deception.
Ha!
I will lead us to a better place.
Oh, my goodness. He said that directly after telling a big, giant, stinky lie.
Hello, he lied.
Yes. Did you see that? Just seeing it on TV, I just was like... First of all, who would ever believe that anyway? He said, oh, Obama knowingly slowed down the recovery, the economic recovery.
No, didn't.
Knowingly?
What? To pass Obamacare. Yes, the story on Wednesday at a campaign appearance, he asserted President Obama deliberately allowed the economic recovery to falter, because that would make so much sense anyway. But anyway, he was basing it on a book, and the author of the book yesterday said that's a load of crap, basically.
A load of hooey.
Yes, thank you.
God.
The Republican nominee claimed the president knew passing the Affordable Care Act would damage the economy, but pushed it through anyway out of vanity.
Mark Levin told me. It must be true.
Romney was citing Norm Schreiber's The Escape Artist. Interestingly, Schreiber maintains in the book the stimulus was too small. His book is like a Krugman kind of.
Just
like a reality-based?
Yeah.
What? Mittens is saying.
He said this book says that there was a discussion about the fact Obamacare would slow down the economic recovery in this country, and they knew that before they passed it.
Oh,
that deserves
God.
A lot of explaining. And the author came out yesterday and said, well, that's just complete bull. It's not what I was saying.
Furthermore, you're a moron.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why when I had that whole exchange with Eric Fernstrom on CNN and he said the Etch-a-Sketch thing, I never thought for a second it would catch on because I'm so numb to the media ignoring the fact that Mitt Romney can't stop lying and, like, easily disproven lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's keeping PolitiFact advertising afloat right now.
Exactly. Tony in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, girl.
What's up, girl?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Nothing. How in the hell can people think
Obama's going to lose. I mean, to me, you know, all the cool people, if all the sexy liberal people voted, I mean, hello.
Hello.
And then you got the black vote, the Latino vote, the gay vote. I mean, do the numbers. Because when you really look at some of these crazy people, you know, it's two or three of them living in a little town in the back of the woods somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the problem is the Citizens United vote.
Yeah.
Citizens United.
The Citizens United vote is what we're scared of.
Oh, but come on. Look, who are they?
They're the billionaires.
Who are they and where do they live? That's
they're the aristocracy that has subverted democracy since Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but Tony, the numbers I look at from Wisconsin, you know, granted, money certainly helped there, but the voters still said they're voting for Obama, you know?
Right. Right, and I went to school in Wisconsin. Come on, it's still spread out. Look at the cities.
Yep.
Tony, you know
I'm
with
look
you. Look at where the people located. So, honey, I'm not worried about it.
All right.
Honey, we
all
don't
right.
win.
All right. You all got right. mine back, I got yours. All right, we got our. We got each other's happy clappy back. Yeah, here's the story I was talking about, Romney. This is just stunning. Speaking, John, you know, what the media lets... the Romney can't get away with. So I was, my head was exploding on Monday about this. On Sunday, they had this new talking point. He wasn't really 47th, because you can't count his whole term.
Oh, of course.
What? Yes, they defended his job for arguing the state's bottom of the barrel status is 47th in job creation, ignores the improvement maybe between the beginning and the end of the Romney term. So you shouldn't count the
They all invoke the District of Columbia, too, saying he was only the fourth worst, not the third.
Right. When it comes to attacking President Obama's record, though, the Romney camp doesn't apply the same standard. His press secretary, Romney's, last month said, President Obama hasn't created a net single new job since he started his presidency. He's not created any jobs.
Wow.
They want to say first that government can't create jobs, only the private sector, and Obama needs to be voted out because he hasn't created jobs, right?
Tuesday,
just so I understand.
Yeah, Tuesday on CNN, she said averages are an unfair measure of a chief executive's record, one that matters less than whether a leader spurred progression.
What?
Huh?
What does that mean?
That's what we've been saying. You see, the president, if you look at any graph, is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
The timeline, as the Romney camp sees it, Romney inherited a bad economy brought on by the burst of the dot-com bubble, not the Republican administration that preceded him. The question is, do you give him credit for that progress? Yes, I think you do, she said. I think you look at this as a progression.
Wow.
If you want to look at Obama's campaign as a progression, said Healy, you have to count his first year. Oh, I see. And consider, so they're going to count, literally, John, the month Obama took office, we lost 800,000 jobs.
Right. Exactly.
And they're saying his fault.
Exactly. And this is exactly worth mentioning because there's a great piece on Daily Beast about this, a terrifying piece, but about how if Mitt Romney were to become president, he would take credit for so much of the recovery Obama has enacted. Mm-hmm. And again, Mitt Romney's first year in office, God forbid he's elected in 2013, that's still Obama's budget. Obama's first year in office was still Bush's budget.
Right.
He was trying
well,
to fight
Bush,
back from.
Well, Bush, as you know, inherited the Clinton-Gore recession.
What?
Huh?
And then what? Everything was fine, as you remember, and now Barack Obama ruined it, and only Mitt Romney can save us.
Just like he did in Massachusetts.
Mission accomplished.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back, hopefully with the president, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've been in love with you since I first saw your movie. Nice rack.
Don't try and sweet talk me.
Well, Chris just told me my rack looks good in this shirt today. Well, thank you.
And you look
my
cute.
New bike shirt.
And you look cute in that hat.
Thank you. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I think it must be cold in here.
Oh, yeah. I do have my high... I thought that light was from the TV lights. It's my high beams. I apologize. All right. Awaiting the president. Here's Mittens in the meantime.
There's something fundamentally wrong when there are over 23 million Americans who are unemployed, underemployed, or have stopped looking for work.
Well,
and
have
yet
their jobs
the president
overseas.
Tells us he's doing a great job.
Just like you did in Massachusetts. By the way,
Jesus, what a lie.
He did enact a self-deportation plan in Massachusetts. You know how many people fled the state?
Yeah, right.
When he was there? I mean, seriously, to find work.
I wonder
It was Miles P. Romney, his great-grandfather, who invented self-deportation when they banned polygamy and he moved to Mexico.
Yeah.
I wonder what the LDS Church thinks of one of their most famous members lying all the time, bearing false witness pretty much every day.
Seems they're pretty much okay with it.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
They are very okay with it.
By the way, and he's also a narc, according to Gawker. Yeah. What's it like to be Mitt Romney's neighbor? Pretty... It's according to a Times article about the candidate's $12 million house in the San Diego suburb of La Jolla. For one thing, he's trying to quadruple the size of the house, which is annoying to everyone. For another thing, he's about people smoking pot on the beach. A young man in town recalled that Mr. Romney confronted him as he smoked marijuana and drank on the beach last summer, demanding that he stop. Can you imagine being high and having Mitt Romney come up and ask you to stop smoking in that weird, clearly really angry but trying to act jovial kind of way of his?
Jeez.
He would tell people to put it out at a reggae concert.
Yeah. You kids.
The guy was probably like, dude, seriously?
Yeah.
Also, he may block the ocean view of another people's houses.
Yeah, you think?
They're there.
And when you consider that cannabis was in this country long before white people was only made illegal in the 1930s, so Mitt really isn't a real conservative, is he?
No. Hmm. Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hey, as much as I like the president and I've given money to his campaign, I'm with Cenk Uygur on this. In that he needs to do something about campaign finance reform. I think this would be a great kumbaya moment. He could hold hands with John McCain up there on stage, and they could announce some comprehensive campaign finance reform that, you know, could, if it's a good enough law, could render Citizens United moot.
Well,
you know?
Robert, I actually agree with you on that. There's a lot of people working on that we've talked to, senators and Congress people. Mm-hmm. I think it, and that's another thing. I don't know what the latest poll was, Chris, but is it 70-something percent of American people are against the Citizens United decision?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an awful.
The Supreme Court only has a 40% approval rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's never happened in the history of America.
That's never happened before. Yep. And you know what? I bet you anything the Supreme Court will hold up the Affordable Care Act. I think you're going to see Kennedy and maybe even Justice Roberts. Yeah.
Wow.
I do think that. Yeah. I think they're starting to hear how
much Roberts would. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's possible.
Yeah,
I think it's possible.
A lot of people out here that I know involved with the Prop 8 campaign, John, are very hopeful about marriage equality. And we're going to talk to somebody from The Advocate in a couple of minutes and talk about that as
hopefully,
well.
Hopefully. Because the president keeps putting himself off.
Yes. Yeah. I was telling you that I think that they were stretching the other night at the Obama event here. And being in television and radio, I could feel that kind of. I was like, wow.
Yeah. You know when that's happening.
Speakers seem to be kind of. Everyone's like, is the president here?
So that happened.
And so.
Remember
that time? And then there was a lot of, all right, we're going to take a little break. We're like, again,
I got
another break? Okay.
Thing with a guy. I'll be right back. I just got to do some stuff.
All right. Speaking of backtracking a skosh, Bill Clinton talking about the fact that he said Romney, what did he say? He said that he has, well, I don't think he said anything wrong. That Romney did do very well in business. But that's not the point. But the whole point is he's not a job creator.
Well, what he said he had a sterling business record.
Yeah.
Well,
he also said that he felt that the Bush tax cuts should be extended. And
that's not what he said. Well, that's really not what he said, Chris. He said that Obama's going to have to extend them as a compromise, and it's okay if he does. But he never said that they should be made permanent, which is the word the Republicans are
acting for. I didn't say. He said that they should be made permanent.
He was addressing the political realities.
Right.
That
he said it should go on for another year. That's what
he said. Right, but Steph's right. What it was with Bill Clinton, it was a Democrat telling another Democrat to compromise more than he already has, and the media is acting shocked by this.
Yeah, Bill Clinton on his...
I don't think I should have to say bad things about Governor Romney personally to disagree with him politically. The fact that I was complimentary of his success as a business person doesn't mean that I think that he should be elected and President Obama shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he did great creating wealth for Bain.
Right.
That's the point of
their
business.
Right.
What we're saying is what that business does, it does not create jobs. It more generally destroys them. Bill Clinton, again.
I support his position.
On taxes.
But we really were... Yeah, I'm very sorry about what happened yesterday. It was what I thought something had to be done on the fiscal cliff before the election.
Well, that's what he was saying, John. Mm-hmm. And you know, that there's a lot to base that on. The Republicans, once again, are not going to do anything to help this president or the country before the election.
Right, and they're
going
to bring it to the brink again.
So let me ask you guys, I've been waiting all week to ask you guys this. Do you think, as some people on the left do, that this was Bill Clinton trying to hurt the president to pave the way for his wife to run against the incumbent Romney in 2016?
No.
That's, of course, what Rush Limbaugh was all over.
Right.
He hates him, and Obama does not respect his elders, and so this is Bill Clinton.
That's the conspiracy theory put out there by the right.
Exactly.
The president has taken the podium.
This has now created jobs for 27 months in a row, 4.3 million new jobs in all. The fact is, job growth in this recovery has been stronger than in the one following the last recession a decade ago. But the hole we have to fill is much deeper, and the global aftershocks are much greater. And that's why we've got to keep on pressing with actions that further strengthen the economy. Right now, one concern is Europe, which faces a threat of renewed recession as countries deal with a financial crisis. Obviously, this matters to us because Europe is our largest economic trading partner. If there's less demand for our products in places like Paris or Madrid, it could mean less businesses or less business for manufacturers in places like Pittsburgh or Milwaukee. The good news is there is a path out of this challenge. These decisions are fundamentally in the hands of Europe's leaders, and fortunately they understand the seriousness of the situation and the urgent need to act. I've been in frequent contact with them over the past several weeks, and we know that there are specific steps they can take right now to prevent the situation there from getting worse. In the short term, they've got to stabilize their financial system, and part of that is taking clear action as soon as possible to inject capital into weak banks. Just as important, leaders can lay out a framework and a vision for a stronger Eurozone, including deeper collaboration on budgets and banking policy. Getting there is going to take some time, but showing the political commitment to share the benefits and responsibilities of an integrated Europe will be a strong step. With respect to Greece, which has important elections next weekend, we've said that it is in everybody's interest for Greece to remain in the Eurozone while respecting its commitments to reform. We recognize the sacrifices that the Greek people have made, and European leaders understand the need to provide support if the Greek people choose to remain in the Eurozone. But the Greek people also need to recognize that their hardships will likely be worse if they choose to exit from the Eurozone.
Austerity sucks ass.
Over the longer term, that's what he even means. As European countries with large debt burdens carry out necessary fiscal reforms, they've also got to promote economic growth and job creation. As some countries have discovered, it's a lot harder to rein in deficits and debt if your economy isn't growing. So it's a positive thing that the conversation has moved in that direction, and leaders like Angela Merkel and François Hollande are working to put in place a growth agenda alongside responsible fiscal plans.
So we shouldn't follow the Grecian formula.
The bottom line is the solutions to these problems are hard, but there are
How dare
solutions.
You?
The decisions required are tough, but Europe has the capacity to make them. And they have America's support. Their success is good for us, and the sooner that they act, and the more decisive and concrete their actions, the sooner people and markets will regain some confidence, and the cheaper the costs of cleanup will be down the road. In the meantime, given the signs of weakness in the world economy, not just in Europe, but also some softening in Asia, it's critical that we take the actions we can to strengthen the American economy right now. Last September, I sent Congress a detailed jobs plan full of the kind of bipartisan ideas that would have put more Americans back to work.
Yeah.
It had broad support from the American people. It was fully paid for. If Congress had passed it in full, we'd be on track to have 1 million more Americans working this year.
Boy,
the unemployment rate would be lower.
Neener.
Economy would be stronger. Of course, Congress refused to pass this jobs plan in full. They did act on a few parts of the bill, most significantly the payroll tax cut that's putting more money in every working person's paycheck right now. And I appreciate them taking that action. But they left most of the jobs plan just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And in light of the headwinds that we're facing right now, I urge them to reconsider. Because there are steps we can take right now to put more people back to work. They're not just my ideas. They're not just Democratic ideas. They're ideas that independent, nonpartisan economists believe would make a real difference in our economy. Keep in mind that the private sector has been hiring at a solid pace over the last 27 months. But one of the biggest weaknesses has been state and local governments, which have laid off 450,000 Americans. These are teachers and cops and firefighters. Congress should pass a bill putting them back to work right now, giving help to the states so that those layoffs are not occurring. In addition, since the housing bubble burst, we've got more than 1 million construction workers out of work. There's nothing fiscally responsible about waiting to fix your roof until it caves in. We've got a lot of deferred maintenance in this country.
So I got
we could
flat.
Be putting
potholes.
A lot of people back
potholes.
To work, rebuilding our roads, our bridges.
Thank you, our
some
roads.
Of our schools. There's work to be done.
These tires.
There are workers to do it.
I got
to
rebuild my
Let's
bike
them
tire.
Back
Thanks.
To work right now. The housing market is stabilizing and beginning to come back in many parts of the country, but there are still millions of responsible homeowners who've done everything right but still struggle to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. So, as I talked about just a few weeks ago, let's pass a bill that gives them a chance to save an average of $3,000 a year by refinancing their mortgage and taking advantage of these historically low rates.
But that would help people.
That's something we can do right now.
I want to make
sure. And make you more popular.
Instead of just talking a good game about job creators, Congress should give the small business owners that actually create most of the new jobs in America a tax break for hiring more workers. These are ideas that, again, have gotten strong validation from independent, nonpartisan economists. It would make a difference in our economy. And there's no excuse for not passing these ideas. We know they can work. Now, if Congress decides, despite all that, that they aren't going to do anything about this simply because it's an election year, then they should explain to the American people why. There's going to be plenty of time to debate our respective plans for the future. That's a debate I'm eager to have. But right now, people in this town should be focused on doing everything we can to keep our recovery going and keeping our country strong. And that requires some action on the part of Congress. So I would urge them to take another look at some of the ideas that have already been put forward. And with that, I'm going to take a couple of questions, and I'm going
to
start
you to kiss my shell.
With Karen Boone, who is with Reuters, but as we all know, is about to go get a fancy job with National Journal, and we're very proud of her. So congratulations to you, Karen. You get the first crack at it.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Could you tell the American people what role the United States is playing in the European debt crisis? And also, do you think European leaders have a handle on what's needed to stem the crisis? And finally, you talked about a number of ideas that you've already put forth to shield the American economy. Do you plan to give a speech or lay out additional ideas now that the crisis is really escalating?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the situation in Europe is not simply a debt crisis. You've got some countries like Greece that genuinely have spent more than they're bringing in, and they've got problems. There are other countries that actually were running a surplus and had fairly responsible fiscal policies, but had weaknesses similar to what happened here with respect to their housing market or their real estate markets.
He did things like George Bush's.
Right.
Okay, 48 minutes after the hour, we'll return with the President's press conference as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, we join the President's press conference again in progress.
Our economy right now is state and local government hiring has been going in the wrong direction.
Walker.
You've seen teacher layoffs, police officers, cops, firefighters being laid off. And the other sector that's still weak has been the construction industry. Those two areas we've directly addressed with our jobs plan. The problem is that it requires Congress to take action, and we're going to keep pushing them to see if they can move in that direction. Okay. Jackie Combs. Where'd Jackie go? There she is.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask you a couple about what a couple other people have said about Europe. And one is that I'd like to know if you agree with former President Bill Clinton, who said in the past week that the Europeans' policies that you've described here today are much like those of the Republicans in this country. Politics of austerity that would, you know, take us in the same direction as Europe, if you agree with that. The Republicans, for their part, have said that you're simply blaming the Europeans for problems that have been caused by your own policies. So I'd like you to respond to both of those. And also, tell us, though, precisely how much time you personally spend on your abuse situation?
Any other aspects of the question?
I do have more questions.
First of all, in terms of the amount of time I spend, I think it's fair to say that over the last 2 years, I'm in consistent discussions with European leadership and consistent discussions with my economic team. This is one of the things that's changed in the world economy over the last two or three decades, is that this is a global economy now, and what happens anywhere in the world can have an impact. Here in the United States, certainly that's true after the kind of trauma that we saw in 2008 and 2009. And, you know, if you think about the situation in Europe, they're going through a lot of the things that we went through back in 2009, 2010, where we took some very decisive action. The challenge they have is they've got 17 governments that have to coordinate, 27 if you count the entire European Union, not just the Eurozone. So imagine dealing with 17 Congresses instead of just one. That makes things more challenging. What we've tried to do is to be constructive, to not frame this as us scolding them or telling them what to do, but to give them advice in part based on our experiences here in having stabilized the financial situation effectively. And, you know, ultimately, though, they're going to have to make a lot of these decisions. And so what we can do is to prod, advise, suggest, but ultimately they're going to have to make these decisions. Now, in terms of characterizing the situation over there, what is absolutely true, this is true in Europe and it's true here in the United States, is that we've got short-term problems and long-term problems. And the short-term problems are, how do we put people back to work? How do we make the economy grow as rapidly as possible? How do we ensure that the recovery gains momentum? Mm-hmm. Because if we do those things, not only is it good for the people who find work, not only is it good for families who are able to pay the bills, but it actually is one of the most important things we can do to reduce deficits and debt. It's a lot easier to deal with deficits and debt if you're growing, because you're bringing in more revenue and you're not spending as much, because people don't need unemployment insurance as much. They don't need other programs that are providing support to people in need, because things are going pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's true here in the United States, and that's true in Europe. So the problem, I think President Clinton identified, is that if, when an economy is still weak and a recovery is still fragile, that you resort to a strategy of let's cut more.
Yep.
So that you're seeing government layoffs, reductions in government spending, severe cutbacks in major investments that help the economy grow over the long term. If you're doing all those things at the same time as consumers are pulling back because they're still trying to pay off credit card debt.
Like Jim says, read a history book.
Yep.
What FDR did. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours today.
Holla.
Good morning, children.
On our way to Boston tomorrow, which, oh, by the way, Brid writes short for Bridget. Her name is Gaelic. Her name is Gaelic for Bridget. Staff, I currently live outside Philadelphia, but will be attending your Boston show tomorrow night with my husband, Seamus, and my parents. As my father's as a Father's Day present, we bought my dad a ticket for your show. He listens every day. I consider him to be one of your biggest fans. Would you add him, Jimmy Quinn, as your number one Irish painter?
Jimmy Quinn.
Painter of the Stephanie Miller Show. We are all originally from Ireland. There you go.
Hi.
All right. We have
a That's wonderful.
Irish painter. It'll be
let's,
the show.
Let's set aside some free bath salts for them tomorrow night.
Awesome. I
yes.
beg your pardon.
And for all the right-wingers, get free bath slats.
Hey. That was from our right-wing ring hate
right
letter
wing?
From the first hour.
Yeah.
He spelled salts slat. He was trying to rub slat in our wounds over the recall. All
and Chris,
right.
I should point out, I've been admonished online for being too snippy about what Bill Clinton said. So my apologies.
Oh, well,
yes.
Then, okay.
I bow down before you.
Oh,
all
right. Stop it.
another federal judge has struck down DOMA. This is the, the victory comes in the case of Edie Windsor. No word on whether it's big or little Edie.
Yeah.
But she was seeking a refund of the federal estate tax paid by the estate of her late wife. It is yet another loss for Paul Clement and Boner, who had claimed her homosexuality was a choice. From the ruling, it does not follow from the exclusion of one group from federal benefits that another group of people will be incentivized to take any action, whether that is marriage or procreation. So, yay, lots of breaking news left and right. Lucas Gringley, editor of TheAdvocate.com, joins us now. Hi, Lucas. Welcome.
Good morning.
Boy, we're just having a string of victories in the courtrooms, first of all, right?
Yeah, this one is number four for John Boehner to lose. So,
Awesome. Yeah. Your article is terrific about the growing list of cabinet secretaries supporting marriage equality.
Yeah, we had four more come out. It's June, so it's Pride Month, so I think a lot of people are issuing Pride statements to say they're on board, and we had four more. It was, they're cabinet secretaries, so you might not know their names, but John Bryson, Timothy Geithner, Kathleen Tebelius, and Hilda Solis all came out for it.
Yeah. I mean, they join Sean Donovan at Housing, Arnie Duncan at Education. Have you been surprised, Lucas, on how, I mean, it's always, almost feels like it's just a gathering steam, really at such a high pace. Do you credit it to the president coming out in favor of marriage equality?
Well, we could blame Joe Biden for it, really.
Right.
He was the first one to come out for it. We're up to 7 out of 16 cabinet members now who have come out for it. And, I mean, Joe Biden had to say that he was sorry for coming out for it before the president. So maybe they're waiting politely to come out for it for the rest of the month.
Wow.
So we're holding on and see if we can get to the full 16.
Yeah. I have to tell you, Lucas, I was at the LGBT event for the president a couple nights ago here in Beverly Hills, I guess.
Oh, nice.
And it was, I got to tell you, it was amazing. I mean, just when he came out, there had to have been a 5-minute standing ovation and 4 more years. Just the love in that room and the amount of people yelling thank you and the energy. I mean, do you think that's going to translate in November?
Well, the amount of money that gay people are giving to the president is enormous. I haven't done all of the adding up yet, but it's millions and millions of dollars. The bundlers, the big money givers for the president, a lot of them are gay. It's a high proportion of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, it really was an amazing event, and you know, he spoke so sort of eloquently, and you could tell it was from the heart. I mean, I think people know when you know they're being given a campaign speech, and I have to say, just based on that, I could feel the energy.
Well, and there's a lot about fairness in the histories of the country and just being in favor of equality from the get-go. He ties everything back to fairness, which I think just goes back to this equality argument over the economy, to everything. So I think that connects well to what he's doing everywhere else. So hopefully the message will tie in.
Yeah, Lucas, he said, stuff about, you know, that sometimes justice in our country, it zigs and zags, and, you know, but we always do the right thing is what his point was. And he quoted that, you know, Martin Luther King quote that I love, that, that justice always... the arc of justice is long, but always bends toward justice.
Yeah.
So are you feeling good about November?
I would not be surprised by anything at this point. I'd love to agree with the caller earlier who was like, no matter what, who could be crazy and vote for Mitt Romney on this, but I have no idea. After North Carolina, I think people were, you know, a little crestfallen about their prospects for what they could accomplish. But in Minnesota, where there's an anti-gay thing on the ballot, it's changed 10 points in the last 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look at Maryland, Lucas. That's huge, that the African-American vote has completely flipped since the president came out in favor of marriage equality, and it looks like that that's going to pass there.
Yeah. In Minnesota, it was the independents flipped, and in Maryland, it's the black vote. So a lot has changed in the black vote, and just the conversation around kitchen tables and things. Since the president's come out, Jay-Z came out. After that, Will Smith came out, the NAACP. So it's a big change there, where before it was just silence. You don't talk about this.
Yeah.
And now that's changed.
Hey, once Fitty's in, Lucas, it's all over. Let me get your take on this, because on the other side, the right is starting to freak out. How a radical North Dakota ballot initiative could allow the religious right to ignore traffic lights. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's hilarious. A North Carolina ballot initiative designed to allow anti-gay groups to openly defy bans on discrimination. It's written so expansively, it could authorize thousands of North Dakotans to outright ignore everything from traffic lights to medical access laws, all in the name of protecting religious liberty. I mean, have you heard of this?
I have not heard that one, but in New Mexico, there was this photographer who said that she had a right to discriminate against anyone who came to her and said that they wanted photos of their same-sex wedding. She said, I have a right to decide who I, serve. So it's not surprising. They want traffic lights. They want,
Well, it targets, this initiative targets any law that merely burdens a person's religious faith, which is pretty, in other words, even the most minor inconvenience to religious practice would be suspect, according to Think Progress.
Yep.
A person who's running late to church could claim it's illegal to make them obey traffic lights.
Exactly.
I mean, this is, this is what I think.
And if you won't let me be an anti-Christian bigot, you're an anti-gay bigot, you're an anti-Christian bigot.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think legally they're just grasping at straws, aren't they, Lucas?
Well, everyone's the victim now. I mean,
Yeah, right.
It's worth pointing out that Scott Walker is one of the major governors who opposes allowing same-sex partners to be able to visit their loved ones in hospitals. This was not an issue during the recall campaign, and I'm a bit shocked as to why, but everyone who voted for Scott Walker this week voted to deny domestic partners the right to visit their partner in the hospital. And I haven't heard Mitt Romney come out and condemn that at all.
No, well, he said in the past that he's for, that's one of the few things that he lists that he's for is hospital visitation rights. He claims nobody's opposed to that, but apparently there is somebody. It's Scott Walker.
Yeah, well, exactly. And we've heard better than that, Lucas, because I've said I would allow the Koch brothers to visit him in prison, because you don't want to separate a Koch from his sucker. All right. Lucas Grinley, great stuff as always at theadvocate.com, and we will check in with you, I'm sure, a great deal going forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. There we go. Lucas Grinley.
What a guy.
What a man. What a man. Yeah, Mittens is really, he warns that Obama might end free enterprise. Does any of this resonate? I mean, he sounded an alarmist tone about the future of free enterprise, arguing a second Obama term would lead to the takeover of the economy by the government.
Yeah, he says this stuff.
One must ask, he said, whether we will still be a free enterprise nation or whether we will still have economic freedom.
It's just crazy. He's talking like a fringe dweller in the general campaign. And the media, the liberal media, is not calling him out on any of it. I'm just waiting for the debates because I don't know when it's going
to
happen otherwise.
Yeah. CNN always has to leave it there unless, of course, John Fugelsang is asking the questions.
And then they tell me they don't need me as many days. That's what happens.
We'll have to leave you there.
All right. John, you were talking about Bill Clinton. Here he is.
Once I realized that nothing had to be done until the first of the year, I supported his position. I supported extending him last year, but I think his position is the right one and necessary if we're ever going to get a comprehensive deal.
That's what obviously they were trying to beat Obama with the Clinton Club. But I agree with you, John. I think he, this is of course what they're going to do. I feel like they use more gotcha stuff with President Obama when, as they said, there really isn't any daylight between them. He was just saying what we all know, that they're not going to do anything to help the president before an election.
Exactly right. Exactly. And, they're going to try and sow discord any way they can. And that's what we were talking about before with Chris when I so rudely castigated everyone. But I do think that it's more about Obama was being told by Bill Clinton that you're going to have to compromise on the Bush tax cuts again. This is despite the fact, by the way, that it was the American people who voted for Obama in 2008 when he promised to end these Bush tax cuts. So the American people have already spoken on this. We know how the American people feel about this. The president doesn't come out and talk about this at all, and I can only guess he's just doing this to try to get reelected again. But it's one of the reasons why so many progressives get frustrated with this president.
But they've been very clear. John Carney came out twice. He said, how many times do I have to say he is not for extending them at all, period. I mean,
right, well, he wasn't for it last time, but he still had to do it. He got backed into a corner.
Well, Bill Clinton, I mean, that's how we got NAFTA and deregulation of the FCC and yada, or, you know, the radio business,
exactly.
Yada, yada.
But I'm like, since when is a Democrat telling another Democrat to compromise national news? It's every day in Harry Reid's office.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the way Rush Limbaugh spins things, did you hear, remember that thing we played from the event I was at two nights ago where the president was talking about push-ups?
Yes.
And that, you know.
we almost played that on CNN yesterday, and then it was decided it was just too tasteless.
John, I was there. He obviously didn't make. He didn't make
but
a dirty.
The
audience
amazing. Perved out.
The audience.
But
you're right,
Limbaugh
Chris.
Made it,
it was
about
all the audience.
Right. The audience, like, it's a gay crowd, and he said she doesn't go all the way down, and he
when
was
she does
push-ups. Right.
Right.
And so Rush Limbaugh did this whole thing about, oh, well, obviously the media first tried to spin it that he was so cool, he made this really funny joke, and then they're trying to protect him and say that he didn't. I was there. He didn't.
Yep. And if you watch the tape, and we watched it yesterday on CNN, we were going to air it. And then Soledad was like, we can't show that, because you just see Obama, like, have this confused look on his face, then, like, bitch, please. That's all you can describe it.
Yeah.
Obama gets a bitch, please look, and it's just...
So Ashley Banfield was allowed to play it, but Soledad didn't play it?
No, Soledad chose not to play it, and I agreed with her on it. I agreed with her not to play it, because it just, it was lurid, and it was tacky, and it's not a news story. It was just the audience laughed at something that wasn't dirty like it was dirty.
Yeah, then Rush had the whole conspiracy of the liberal media to not play this, or whatever.
But you know what,
it was such a non-story.
Yeah. When you play the whole thing within context, you can tell that it wasn't...
I was there!
Yeah.
In no way was it lurid.
Right.
Yes, thank you. 17 minutes after the hour. We continue more Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, oh yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Gene in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Say, I was listening to the woman earlier talking to her parents who only listen to Fox, and thinking about the people I know from Wisconsin who voted for Walker. They're just about a 20-30 minute drive away from the Twin Cities. They're kind of a bedroom community over there. And it occurs to me that people on the right just talk in bullet points. They think in sound bites. And I was reminded of a story about Hemingway, who was asked to write a story in 6 words. And he wrote, baby shoes for sale, never worn.
Yeah.
That's
brilliant. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
Wow.
Poignant.
And I think that we could do the same thing. We could meet them where they're at. If they are not willing to be critical thinkers, if they want to talk and think in sound bites, we can use 6 words. Mitt Romney is a draft dodger.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Gene
yes, he is.
All right.
Not just a draft dodger. He protested supporting the draft. He was a draft supporter who dodged anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking
yes,
of,
there's photos of him marching, holding a placard at the Stanford campus for the draft.
That, yeah.
But not for me.
Looking like a much younger douche.
People.
Yes. A new survey shows President Obama remains a safe bet to carry Minnesota, where Gene just called from, 54% to 39%. There's some good news.
Where I'll be next Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, doing Guilt of Love Story, your one-man
yes.
show for people who don't like one-man shows?
Yes, at the beautiful historic Pantages Theater.
Fabulous. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Jamie Weiss, Weinstein, and Neil Cavuto on the Fox News.
Yes.
On Bill Clinton.
He said that, you know, I don't work for them. I think the technical term for this, Neil, is going rogue. He's going his own way.
What does that mean, then? What is he really up to?
You know, it's hard to delve in the mind of President Clinton, and far be it for me to play a psychologist, but I did come up with one theory, at least. President Clinton, I think, is, you know, somewhat of a megalomaniac. He wants to think highly of himself. He wants other people to think highly of his record. He right now can boast that he is the only Democrat to be elected to 2 terms since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Maybe, just maybe, he wants to keep that after 2012.
Oh.
Wow, isn't it nostalgic?
I'm not going to do pop psychologies, but here's what I'm going to pull out of my ass anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't it nostalgic to hear Fox News hating Bill Clinton again?
Oh,
remember
awesome.
That? That was, it's just like we're back in the 90s.
And now here's Monica Crowley.
There's a bigger reason, I think a more profound reason, why Bill Clinton does not want to see Barack Obama reelected.
Uh-huh.
That's because Bill Clinton has been the only president since the end of World War II, since Franklin Roosevelt, to win a second term.
There it is.
And he wants that
what?
Historical
the
distinction.
Point.
For himself. He does not want to share it. Yes, the only Democrat to get reelected to a second term. He doesn't want to share that distinction with Barack Obama or anybody
she
else.
She is very... Does Partly Keith Abloh, does Dr. Abloh write the pop psychology talking points?
It was great that she had to be corrected halfway through that.
Yeah.
Jim, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
President Kennedy was assassinated. That's one reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
He would have been reelected.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Would have been
against Goldwater, yes.
Yeah.
LBJ beat Goldwater that bad.
And we would have got out of Vietnam before all those people died.
Neil Cavuto, once again.
The argument for what Scott Walker did last night and pulled up in Wisconsin to avoid being the first governor, called it a recall election and surviving it, is that people have had it with the spending. You get Joe Biden today talking about the need for more spending, railing against the likes of Paul Ryan, also a Wisconsinite, that he hasn't gone far enough with the cuts. Yet that's looked at with disdain.
Yeah, I think the president just made those points about Europe that Bill Clinton did, which, Okay.
So there's that.
And so that happened. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
I am convinced some people voted for Obama in 2008 to prove that they weren't racists.
What?
You know it, and I know it.
Okay.
Now, what's
going to
happen in 2012 is...
That is racist.
That some people are going to vote against Obama to prove that they're not stupid.
Wow. I think of all the dumb males I know who are nodding to that right now.
Speaking of which, Sean Hannity is probably one of them.
While running for the Illinois State Senate in the 1990s, Barack Obama joined a Chicago far-left political third party that was called the New Party.
Uh-huh.
Now, at the time, Stanley Kurtz's article was called a, quote, crackpot smear by Team Obama, and the accusation was flatly denied. But new evidence has been discovered showing President Obama was indeed a member of this organization. Now, what is so disturbing about this and this group is that its goal was to transform the United States of America into a European-style welfare state.
Shocking.
Well, does that sound familiar?
Oh,
yeah, it's what you talk about every night, douchebag.
Sean Hannity is his own bobblehead doll.
Really he's such a disgusting
Rush did
human
this
being.
Yesterday, too.
What
like
a fake Christian he is.
Yeah. I can see him taking notes from Rush's show. Hey, that's real good. Yeah, that's real good. I'll do that one, too.
That's real good what you said there. Uh-huh. Good what you said, Rush.
And Sean's overwhelmingly elderly, bitter right-wing audience nods.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. We have comedian extraordinaire Michael McDonald from Stewart from Mad TV.
And other things,
and
too.
And lots of other things.
And he created Cougar Town, for crying out loud.
I know it.
Wow.
And he plays the snooty wine bar owner.
Yeah.
Which I love. All right. So he joins us next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Big ol' sweatbag.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I didn't have my headphones up. I didn't hear it. So, whatever it was. Good. I know you're laughing at me, and that's fine. I'm used to it.
I can play it
again. Stay in the bubble. It's safe. Stay in the bubble.
I'm going to stay here.
Stephanie Miller.
Big ol' sweatbag.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. That was true. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, one of our very personal favorite comedians, Michael McDonald, of Mad TV, and also plays the awesome snooty owner of a wine bar.
Yep.
That Courtney Cox and her friends go to on Cougar Town. Also a director, writer, and producer on the said show. He joins us now. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
And owner of the longest, most beautiful set of man eyelashes I've ever seen. They're like awnings.
They're really, it really helped me out in high school from getting beaten up. Speaking of which way, Steph, I was a little worried for your listeners who maybe don't call into your show frequently. I called in while I was waiting to talk to you you guys put, I guess it's sort of your, is it your show? Or is it like a delay? Or there's like commercials and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
So, I swear to God, there, the commercial was for Life Alert, which is the woman who's fallen.
Hey! I've fallen and become 25 years older and more manipulative.
But it sounded, the woman, don't get me wrong, she had a voice that sounded a little similar to yours through the feed. And she was literally saying, she was talking about, the other day I fell. And then they cut to her acting.
Yes.
And so she's like, help, help. It sounded like you, and I thought, has Stephanie fallen in her studio?
And why won't someone help her?
What good are those liberal men if they're not picking her up?
Yeah. No, trust me, they wouldn't help me if I fell. But that's so
well,
it could be me.
They want you to earn it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Michael McDonald, you're going to be at the Brea Improv.
Yes, I am. The Paris of Orange County is Brea.
This weekend, tonight through Sunday?
Yeah, well, if they'll have me, who knows? I might be booed off in 5 minutes. So.
No, you will not.
How you doing?
I'm good. I was just listening to you. Here's what I was listening to is Jim, I think, playing a Stewart bit.
I was watching you on the doctor's table.
I'm still watching it now.
Yes. Yeah, we still can't get enough of him. Michael, do you make fun of political shenanigans in your stand-up?
No, I do and I don't. You know, there's nothing to make fun of anymore. Everything's been fixed. Yeah. I don't know if you heard, but Madonna is curing the Middle East.
Yes, she's brought world peace. Uh-huh.
She's on that.
And she's taking the really, really unprovocative step of having a Jewish act for open in Turkey, which is, you know, I think it's a good idea to always start off with a nice warm hug to your audience.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on, but maybe, you know, balls, I guess.
I think in her concert in Tel Aviv, she flashed a picture of a French leader with a swastika on her face up or something.
Yeah,
which, yeah.
That's helpful.
I think it's important. Yeah, I think her style is like, let's see if they really love me. I'm going to offend their most sacred sense.
Let me poke them with a Nazi stick. are there any swastikas in your act, Michael McDonald?
What?
I will say this. I'm from Orange County.
Well, then, there you go.
I would never call it, it's very conservative there, but what I like is if I grew up with really liberal parents and not in a Catholic school, I don't know if I would have much to talk about.
Yeah. I remember I used to visit my friend that lived down in Orange County. She lived in one of those gated communities, and I just found it creepy. I was like, I was like, there's nobody with any melanin in their skin here at all.
You need more of an edge, Stephanie.
Well, there's a new zoo. Because behind those gates are the Real Housewives of Orange County, and they're literally animals.
Cougars.
Yeah, actual cougars. By the way, how much fun is Cougar Town to work on? It looks like a blast.
It's really, really great. Courtney is, in addition, she's not just some actress on the show. She's also an executive producer on the show.
Right.
And
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox. And the cool thing about her is she kind of treats everything like it's a party, and she's one of those types that wants everyone to be there, so like she's always inviting people over to her house or out to lunch, and sometimes on the show while we're shooting and it looks like they're drinking wine on set or in a scene, I won't say this under oath, but I will say it on your show. A lot of times it's just regular wine. It's not even prop wine.
Hi! Yay!
And it goes the same with the Stephanie Miller show.
Yes, us too.
Are you guys
not prop
it up?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell
Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. Now, I know she does seem like a genuinely nice person, so I can get your take on the latest, because I'm sure your team, Jen, much like she is, she's a good friend of Jennifer Aniston's, right?
Yes, Jennifer Aniston, I have met a couple of times, and she could not be nicer.
That's what I've heard. So that's why I've always been team Jen. Jim Ward here is team I don't give a... But I will never let this go. I don't know if you saw this National Enquirer story. Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie have made a lunch date.
Because I didn't know this.
How classy is this? Jennifer sent flowers to Angie congratulating her on her engagement to Brad Pitt. I mean...
I'm just glad magazines are starting to cover this story.
Yes.
You know, we're also in two wars.
Really? I had not heard. So Angie called Jennifer to thank her. They're going to have lunch in London later this summer.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know how that's going to go.
That takes so much sting out of the pain of the Kardashian divorce, I can't tell you.
We're gonna need...
this is like the Potsdam Conference.
Yeah. I like that they're going to have lunch, because let's face it, they're both neither of them are exactly chubbos, and I predict they will split one scallop.
We're going to need Madonna to negotiate that, I think. All right. Michael McDonald, always a pleasure, honey. Go see Michael McDonald, who was hilarious at the Brea Improv this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Love you, Michael McDonald.
Love you guys, too. Enjoy your booze.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Snooty Wine Bar owner.
Thing is the best discarded chocolate hut. Behind the orange curtain.
Oh, I always save the Kardashian news for you, John, since you brought up a Kardashian.
It's a police.
Uh-huh.
I can't get enough.
Isn't this a typical story of celebrities that we hate? Kris Jenner, she's the Kardashian mom.
Yeah, she's the one who actually, she castrates Bruce Jenner every night on that show.
Yes, exactly. She dashed into Tarzana's Bee's Bakery, reportedly at noontime, visibly annoyed to find it packed with customers clutching numbers from a ticket dispenser.
Sure, as you are wont to do in a busy bakery.
Right. Kris, looking harried, snatched off number 14, said a witness, but as she stood there, her impatience grew when the clerk called for 13. Kris couldn't wait another moment, pushing past a woman in medical scrubs ahead of her. She said, "I'm sorry, I'm number 14. Can you just give me a few rolls. I'm in a hurry."
Wow.
The woman she pushed past snapped, "I'm number 13 and I do mind. I'm a doctor, an oncology resident, and I have to get back to my cancer patients." Are you going to get your nails done?
Yeah.
Wow. Yay.
Wow.
There's
That's
my future
so
wife.
Out of character for Kris Jenner, too.
Wow.
Everybody, I guess the doctor got a standing ovation and she rushed out.
Good.
And Kris Jenner yelled, "Don't you know who I am? My dead husband got OJ off."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, ecclesiastical, Mook. I have yet another story for you.
Come on to me, my son.
Mel Gibson's hardcore Catholic dad files for divorce. What?
What?
93-year-old Hutton Gibson filed.
How old?
93.
His wife is in her 70s. He is asking for spousal support. And he is, as we know, a very extra crispy bucket of Catholic who does not. His religion does not believe in divorce.
He was so Catholic up until the very end. When he screwed it up, now he's not getting into heaven.
And I got to say, if you read the book of Leviticus, the same place where they condemn the gays, it also says that divorce and remarriage is adultery and punishable by death.
Yep. Mm.
So there you go, homophobes.
All right. This one is squeezy staff. Jim, Katy Perry jokes she wants to have sex with Rihanna.
Really?
That's all you. When asked if she would ever collaborate with her, she joked, "No, but we're going to have sex."
Cool. Joke. Can I work the camera?
Apparently, wants to do a little more than kiss a girl. Just saying. I don't know. Or she's kidding. Or not.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
It seems that they both have better taste in dating, then, if that's the case.
Yeah, Rihanna ain't no Russell Brand.
Those two women could both use a serious upgrade in bed partners.
Meredith in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Meredith.
Oh, hi. I need to get my happy clappy back.
Okay.
After everything, I know who believes those Republican lies. I know who believes that I had one of those unfortunate conversations with a dear right-wing friend that we agreed never to have. And had all my bullet points from listening to Stephanie Miller and John Hugel saying, and I had all my answers, the best of which, of course, was you had 8 years of control. Why didn't you do all these things then? Mm-hmm. And how did it get so bad then? And you know what?
Democratic Congress for the last 2 years.
I know, but what pained me, he didn't even know that, but what pained me is he didn't want to know the truth. And these are otherwise normal people, otherwise normal, sane people, except that I always thought if they could hear the truth in those simple Fugelsangian bullet points that condense everything, if they could hear the truth, they would get it. And I crestfallen, somebody used that word earlier, to realize that they don't want to know the truth. They just want to believe it.
We have a national religion, and it's not Christianity, it's denial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, it isn't. Mm-hmm. Shut up.
No, it isn't, John.
Yeah.
And it's all about, God's on my side, and I don't want to hear facts. And this is the difference between people who are evolving and people who are not.
Yeah, well, Muslim, socialist, Nazi, commie.
Hip-hop barbecue. Okay. By the way,
you want to really blow your friend's mind? Yeah. Tell him. Speaking of what Jim just said, tell him it was the communists who stopped the Nazis. Watch their head explode.
They did the same thing.
What? All right. We did a Hollywood You Go Girl. Now we need a very rare Republican. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Though Rick Scott's administration has now said it will not follow the Department of Justice's order to end its voter roll purge, a Republican county election supervisor spokeswoman said she will not resume the purge effort. The accuracy of the voter registration database is of the utmost importance, and we will continue our efforts to ensure the information is current. However, we will not use unreliable data.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as there are black people and college kids trying to vote, we'll make it stop.
Deborah Clark is the Pinellas County supervisor. Mm-hmm. They initially had purged 14 voters who the state suspected might not be citizens, but reinstated them when it became clear that Scott's administration's list of surefire, quote-unquote, non-citizens was riddled with a gigantic number of errors. And she did the right thing. And she's a Republican.
Wow. Except they weren't errors.
Yeah.
Normally, I have so much respect
for meant
to
do that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with the remaining moments of Fridays with Bugle Saying on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, earlier today we read a letter from someone that said don't do anything funny in the first hour.
Right.
Because they can't.
Mission accomplished.
Get it on XM. Chris says, Steph, I missed the listener's name, but if people are listening on Sirius XM, there's a Sirius Left that runs all 3 hours.
Yes.
Yes. And you can respectfully write to XM and say, please, carry the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're front-loading all the good stuff. By now, it's just seeds and stems.
Sure.
Yeah. Steven writes, another easy solution for listeners who can only hear the last 2 hours of your show on XM would be to move to Chicago. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Or Los Angeles or many other fine cities.
Sure. So we aired the President's Press Conference live.
Live?
A lot of good ideas about the economy, about jobs. Oh, here's Mitch McLiplis with the only one they have. How's about we keep the tax cuts for the top 1%?
The smart thing to do, the smart play, would be to end the uncertainty about the biggest tax increase in history at the end of the year.
Oh,
say we're going to extend the current tax rates for everyone for 1 year, and during that year, do comprehensive tax reform for all Americans.
Okay, first off, it's not a tax increase. It is going back to the tax code before Bush had the tax cuts. It's letting the cuts end. If you want to call it an increase, it's Bush's tax increase, which was supposed to happen 2 years ago.
Yep.
And Mitch is saying that taxes on the super rich, okay, have never been lower, which is why they can keep creating so many jobs. And if they're not creating jobs, it's because the taxes are too high.
Right.
Yes, exactly. What?
Damn.
By the way, Mitch McConnell did not say kiss my shell to the president. That was Jim Ward during the speech, in case you're wondering. Okay. President Obama about student loans.
The number one thing Congress should do for you, UNLV, right now, is to stop interest rates on student loans from doubling at the end of the month.
Oh, looky, everybody. It's time for the John and Pam Show. It's our favorite moment of the Stephanie Miller Show. Here they come.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
just came up with a little idea what GOP actually stands for.
Okay. What's that?
Geeks on procrastinating.
What's the first word?
Geeks.
Geeks.
On procrastinating.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Did you guys write that over cocktails yesterday? What's happening?
No, just sitting here, just playing around, watching you, and just playing on the computer right now.
All right. All right. So, is Pam there? Can I say hi, Pam?
Hi, honey.
Hi, Flo.
Pam, I saw you posting a comment on Stephanie's Facebook page yesterday.
You got that right. I got so sick and tired of them, you know who's, them women.
Yeah, making fun of my pashmina that I was wearing in the picture with Cher, right?
Yeah. And you know something else, sweetheart? You was a cutie pie. Now,
thank you, Pam. Thank you. It's not my best picture, but thank you.
No, well, I can't wait to come and see you all when we come up to Columbus.
Oh, Columbus, August 18th, Sexy Liberal. All right.
That's right. And I'm telling everybody, and I told them we got tickets, and they're like, well, is there still any left? I said, well, it's not my job to go look. I have to get on a computer.
They're going fast. John, I think John and Pam may have to open for us. I mean, this is the John and Pam show.
Absolutely.
Well, Don, right. I know you guys are about ready to get off the air.
Yes.
And I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. We will. We're going to Boston. You kiss John for me.
I sure will, baby doll.
All right. I sense they're frisky, John and Pam.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Is this the Brazer? I don't know. Is this a new website?
It's another Dan Abrams website along the lines of Mediaite.
Awesome. Jim, I'll have to pick up a copy for you. It's Ron Paul's Libertarian Cookbook. Yes. They say you can trust Ron Paul's wife, Carol, to make easy Oreo truffles while wearing an apron emblazoned with End the Fed. Do we need this? I don't know.
Oh, really?
In a Ron Paul administration, Americans might see First Family sitting down to King Ranch chicken, which is made with Doritos.
Doritos?
Or cherry pineapple dump cake, which is canned fruit and pie filling topped with dry cake mix and baked.
Huh?
Jeez. I just think I'm gonna burst.
Okay.
Wow.
Oof.
Their kitchen needs some government regulation.
Yeah, a little bit.
Speaking of which, this is just the most entertaining story. Ron Paul forces the RNC says are toying with them, and they will not be ignored. Supporters of Ron Paul suspect the RNC is toying with them, say they're taking their complaint to social media talk radio. Well, here you are.
I'm not going
to
be ignored.
And anyone else who will listen. At issue is the location of Paul Festival 2012. This is going to be a freak show.
Wow.
Which could bring an estimated 20,000 people or more to Tampa. It would run right before, till the day right before the convention begins. It looks like they're not getting back to them on when the, they're not getting back to them on getting a permit. They said it could take another 2 weeks while other requests for fairgrounds are considered. I think they're going to have to move them down to storage room B.
And I don't.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
We need all the space we can get.
The delegates in Tampa will be festival. They'll be coming in Ronvoys. Convoys of vans carrying
Ronvoys?
Yes, of Ron Boss, of Paul Boss.
Great.
Yikes.
Organizer announced no names yet, but promise everything from stand-up comedy. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
To book signings.
This is all for you, Rand. All for you.
Maybe they can get Brad Stein.
The music could include classic rock and country, but also grunge, punk and hip-hop.
Really?
At the Paul Fest.
John Fugel sure saying with an Omen reference.
Thank you, Chris.
2 points. Wow.
This is all for you, Rand.
All for you.
And then she hands her. Hanging scene.
Then she hands her.
Exactly.
Nicely
That's
done.
That's what this is, right? That's,
wow.
This is Rand Paul 2016. Let the campaign begin.
Here he is now, Rand Paul.
I do want someone who's been good at managing businesses that have been in failure and trying to turn them around. Right now, I consider our government to be a failed business, and so I think Governor Romney would be precisely the person I would want. Mm.
You know, John, you would not be able to see if there's a 666 on his head underneath that triple that he wears on his head. How could you even get through that hair to find
when
out?
When the Ewok died there, its paw covered exactly the right spot on his forehead where that would be.
Jaina in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jaina.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, if they want to have a Defense of Marriage Act, what they want to do is quit forcing gay people into relationships with straight people.
You know,
gay people deserve to have families and kids and be just as miserable as the rest of us.
That's what I've said, Jaina, is gays must be allowed to marry so they will stop marrying Michelle Bachmann. I mean, we are helpers.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been married for 22 years to this husband. And I dated a guy in between husbands, and he was, and there wasn't any fun.
Oh, all right, Jaina, thanks for that little peek in your personal life.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
Thank you, Jaina.
Well, there we go.
Huh?
Yep. There.
All right.
Top that, Hemingway.
All right, yeah. Wow. All right, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Get those few remaining tickets for, by the way, the Ticketmaster maps in Boston are not correct because of the camera locations. It looks like there's more seats available than there are. There are not many left. You need to get them fast. And if you want a $20 student ticket, go to the Wilbur box office with your student ID and get those few tickets. John Fugel saying, Aisha Tyler and I will see you tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater for Sexy Liberal.
I can't wait. What a party. Get the last few tickets. And again, I'll be in Minneapolis for a special Father's Day show of Guilt of Love Story on Saturday the 16th.
Awesome! And we'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have a good weekend.